Thank you so much for coming back to Witchcast, guys. My name is Julia. I am the host of this podcast. Now, today we have a witch with us. Her name is Lena Webb, and she is a very, very cool art major, art therapist kind of witch. So we're going to talk about all about art and therapy and how it kind of like ties in with witchcraft. But before we get to that, let's just say hi to Lena.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me today. And I guess thank you for everyone who's listening as well.
Yes, well, I'm very happy to have you with us. Okay, so guys, you know how we always start the episode. We're going to do a tarot card drawing of the day, and we're going to see what kind of just we're going to get. So 2 seconds. I'm going to shuffle real quick, and then we're going to pull a card. And I'm pulling from the Modern Witch Tarot deck. And you guys know how much I love that deck, so it's going to be awesome. So give me 2 seconds. Okay, so we got the Four of Pentacles, and now that's going to be upright. And you guys know with Pentacle Suits, they kind of talk about your materialism and like what you need to do in the material world sense. So with the Four of Pentacles, I feel like it kind of talks about your need for control, greed, security, and how you're trying to change your world around you. So I feel like when I got this card and when I just pulled it, it definitely talked about how you definitely just want to change your surroundings and start a new life, basically, or like start a new change or like a new chapter. So whatever you have going on with your life, you want to start something new. And I think now's a good time to do it. And I think with Pentacles, it's really good to pull for like these episodes that I've been doing, guys, for the interviews and everything. I think it really talks about how we can kind of just work together and like we can have this sense of security and like feel like we can all come together as a community, collective community, if that makes sense. So, Lena, what do you think?
That's so true and such a beautiful way of putting it. Something that I really, really love about this card is it serves for me as a reminder that like right now I do want to do that big change and I'm like ready, but kind of pursuing that with that much like intent can sometimes hinder you in the sense that that can block you from opportunities because you're so focused on what's ahead of you that it's like first you need to realize what these things are that are blocking you and what you need to change first before you can have those new opportunities and success and happiness in your kind of like life to come.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good way to put it too. Yay. I love doing tarot card drawings of the day because it just like really brings, I feel like, us together to kind of like start the episode and kind of just like sets a tone. So I think the Four of Pentacles is a really good card to get to kind of talk about.
But, absolutely, especially during time like this.
Oh, I know, with the pandemic going on and everything still kind of on lockdown, it's so frustrating. I can't imagine what it's like in New York or anything, or like how is it in Canada?
My goodness, honestly, I'm super lucky. I'm in Vancouver, and we had one of the best responses to it, and we're on our like third phase of opening up right now, so everything's pretty back to normal. Just everyone wears masks.
That's awesome. I'm really glad that you kind of have like that third phase because California is still a shit show. It's not a good time, but like we're working through it and I'm sure we're going to come out in the end, so like I'm not too worried. But besides all that sad talk that we're going to talk about the pandemic, let's go towards art and how we feel about magic and you know everything that's been ties into like Book of Shadows and everything, because I know on your page, guys, she's the Creative Wiccan on Instagram. You need to see her artwork for her Book of Shadows. It is out of this world.
Seriously. Oh girl, you're making me blush.
No, I'm serious. That's what, like when I saw your Instagram the first time, I was like, okay, so my Book of Shadows has nothing on yours. And I totally was so in love with the way you did your artwork and how you drew it out. It just looks like a book, like a illustrated really good book. And I was like, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, did you really draw all of that stuff? Because some of the stuff that you Drew, it looks like he printed it or something. Because I was like, oh my God, this is so, your handwriting is so neat.
Thank you. I've honestly been working on it for like way too long, or just on kind of like my cursive and handwriting and stuff like that, because I kind of fell away from my art practice and this like really brought me in where every day I sit down and kind of work on it. So it's nice to hear that it's improving, because it was not always like that.
I think you did a great job and you're doing a great job. So let's kind of talk about, you know, how did you get into witchcraft? Like, how did you figure out you wanted to draw in a Book of Shadows? Or like, how did you find out you wanted to really be a witch?
Yeah, well, about like 3 years ago, I randomly came across Wicca, honestly, through a YouTube rabbit hole, as I'm sure lots of people are familiar with.
Yeah.
So I kind of found that and then was like instantly gravitated to it and want to learn more. Began developing practice. And then through there, I kind of just realized and came to an understanding one day of like, oh, so witchcraft is like a huge part of my life now. And I didn't even really realize that I was a witch doing all of these things. And it was kind of when I found out, like, very empowering and exciting that I had accidentally opened up this new chapter in my life.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. What kind of witch would you classify yourself as?
I would honestly probably say like an eclectic witch. But just because I incorporate so many things, but I would say that my main practice revolves around the act of creation. So whether that's like kitchen witchcraft or art magic, creating sigils, spell jars, anything like that, I'm instantly drawn to. And so a lot of people don't talk about this as a path, but I would say like an art witch.
Ooh. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, like that's like a new term. Like you can totally be an art witch.
Yeah. And it's, I think that it's lovely because when I think of the arts, I also think of music and dance and expression and this like wide range of things that you can tap into that is like connected to your internal power.
Oh, absolutely. Because I feel like there's magic in everything. Yeah. The way that you cook or the way that you, you know, bake like some like home goods or something.
Yeah.
Or if you're dancing or if you're creating art, there's always magic in like coming out of your pores when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Because yeah, I feel absolutely.
Like you're just straight up like putting magic out in its purest form and you're using your intuition to draw what you feel like is supposed to be like in your Book of Shadows or something. Like any kind of like I feel like your first thought when it comes to like drawing or when you're using like intuition and you're doing divination or like tarot cards, your first thought is so important to me because I feel like that's what exactly sets the tone for what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's such a good way of kind of like solidifying that idea into like a term of like unity or like way of putting it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Those vibes.
What was your spiritual awakening like? Or did you have one?
Honestly, not really. It came on just kind of like so naturally that it's just every day I'm fueled with excitement and learning more, which I think is the reason that I began the Book of Shadows is because I saw it and I was instantly like, oh, this is a place where I can kind of speak to myself and learn about myself.
That's so awesome. I love that your Book of Shadows kind of just like brings you all together as well.
Yeah, so like, yeah, exactly. So, and it really connects me to that kind of like spiritual sense.
Yeah, you definitely kind of get into like this whole spiritual meditation mode.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so like meditative and self-reflective and self-empowering. That it just, opens up a window and that you can just, I think, see more and be more perceptive of yourself and your reality that you're forming through your own perception.
Oh, for sure. 100%. So what drew you to art? Like, are you still an art major? Are you going to school still? Or what's going on with art?
I have always been obsessed with art. Even when I was little, like, I was just fascinated with this idea that I could take my own two hands and then make something that never existed. And then now attaching that to the idea of then impacting the world with it, just having people experience it and looking at it and opening up conversations that once didn't exist. So now I completed my Bachelor of Fine Arts as a visual arts major in drawing. And now my practice is kind of all over the place. When I went to art school, I'm like, I'm going to be the next Picasso of drawing. Like, that's all I'm going to do. And then once I kind of got the opportunity to get my hands on multiple mediums, it's like, oh no, I'm doing everything but like printmaking, pottery, sculpture, illustration, painting. And so now my art practice kind of just goes with the flow. Like whatever I'm feeling and want to talk about or express, kind of choose a medium that can best reflect that, which is,
oh my God,
very fun.
That is so, like, you're definitely an eclectic art witch. Like, that's just,
yeah,
that's just what you are. You have, like, this diversity about you that kind of just, like, you basically can just do whatever the fuck you want, and it's awesome.
Yeah, so it's super cool to have that kind of, like, bind to curiosity and kind of allowing yourself to, like, flow with that energy and see where it takes you.
Yeah, so you kind of talked about what kind of art you're into, but how does magic play a part in art? Like, how does it kind of, what makes you feel comfortable when you're doing your art? Like, is it like your magic in you, or how does it come out? How does it show? Like, do you, when, yeah, like when you're cooking, what is it like? What can you give us like a step-by-step on like how magic is in your life and how it plays with art?
Yeah, I think that art magic is extremely powerful and like super effective for like self-love, self-expression, self-betterment, and kind of teaches you to like harness that power that's within you and understand that that power is in you. It's in everybody. Like if only you take that kind of moment to look at it in a very vulnerable and open way. Like art magic, when I'm working with it, whether it's doing something like baking or even like working in your book of shadows, which some people think that is more of like an educational practice, I guess. But it's like when you're taking that time, you're devoting your mind, your body, intention, energy, focus, all of these things, and they're coming together. So in the end, and it's like extremely nice because then at the end you have something to show it, like a visible thing to look at that's like, my energy and love went into this. And I think that it's also a good reminder to note that it doesn't need to be aesthetically beautiful or amazing to kind of have that energy. Like I'm right now down this like focaccia rabbit hole where I will find the perfect recipe. And I don't know how my partner can eat some of the like bricks that I give him, but he's always so jazzed, eat the whole thing. And it's like, reminds me of like, I'm learning and I can see that process of learning and I can see the love that I'm like giving out and working with, which is super cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. So like, I feel like when you're practicing art magic, it's almost like you're doing a ritual.
Absolutely. I think most of my practice is based around rituals. Like, yeah, even when I'm baking, I usually do it, or when I'm at home alone, I like put on some beautiful music. I am a slight perfectionist, so I set out all the tools I'm going to use. And then just kind of like get into it, breathe, relax, meditate, let my mind wander. And sometimes doing stuff like that is where I've came up with some of like the best ideas for whether it's like art or doing different type of works within my practice, because you kind of get into that like subconscious, methodical, like mind weaving space.
Yeah, for sure. And I know with like baking especially, you kind of get into that meditative state that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just like, I think the best part of baking is you have an end result and that can make people happy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And so, one thing that I love about like, that, which is super similar to art magic, is that it's extremely accessible. So it can be created out of anything that you have, which is super, super cool if you have the right intention, mindset, and are like willing to manifest these things for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I like to play like Iron Chef Witch in my kitchen.
I'm loving it.
I straight up just find what I have in the kitchen. I'm like, what can I make? And how can I make this magical?
That's the perfect definition of like living your best life. Like, ain't nothing gonna stop you. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I was just thinking, like, when you make your focaccia, do you draw sigils in them?
Oh, yes. Now I'm allergic to dairy, so I don't know why I keep doing it, but I keep drawing them in with cheese for some reason and things and like mixing them with herbs and like making this like oily, cheesy, herby concoction that kind of like for me like binds whatever energies and intentions into my focaccia.
Cheese is so good, but like I can understand when you're like lactose intolerant, it's kind of like, why? Yeah. God,
oh,
why?
I get straight up hives. I'm like allergic to it.
No, that's no fun. That's so shitty.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I do it anyways.
Oh, I'll give you a recipe for focaccia later because I'm actually an art major or a baking and pastry major.
Oh, hell
so
yes.
Yeah, put it out totally world, give you.
You get it back.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I know, like, a bunch of different recipes, and, like, I'll just hit you up later so we don't, like, randomly start talking about food.
Yeah, right. People are like, wow, that's a great
turn. It's just, like, yeah, we started having, like, a food episode about just food and, like, just being just a foodie. Focaccia. I love it. Okay, so let's get back on track. What is art therapy, and do you use it daily, or do you help people with it, or what is it to you?
Yeah, art therapy, I think, is kind of a art magic ritual, if like you can say. Basically, the foundation of what it is it marries psychotherapy with arts and the creative processes. So it uses therapeutic techniques to enhance mental health. And this can be something as big as mental disorders, like bipolar, or even smaller things that are kind of in your everyday life, such as anxiety and depression or loss or like heartbreak, and gives you a space for self-reflection and acceptance and vulnerability so that you can move forward.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's super cool and super fascinating, and has been for years something that I've been really interested in. And honestly, this can come off as a little bad, but the pandemic was kind of good for me in the sense that I got let go and had to spend months reflecting on like, what do I want my trajectory to kind of look like? And then kind of seeing like, oh, art therapy is something that I use in my practice every day, because it can be something like drawing a mandala, working in your book of shadows, where you're opening yourself up to that space. And now I kind of want to like be a part of introducing that to the world and making that more accessible for people in their everyday lives.
And that's beautiful, because I know with mental health, I talk a lot about mental health on my episodes. It's very important to me. It's a very good message to send out to the world that, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever mental illness that you may have, that you're never alone. There's always going to be someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And I know for sure, like, you guys can come to me. I mentioned in a couple episodes back that, you know, I am bipolar.
Oh, funny, and, you know, too.
I'm bipolar 1, guys. It's I'm diagnosed with major depression, severe anxiety, and it's, you know, it's pretty tough sometimes, but, you know, I think I didn't realize I was doing it, but art therapy is something that I practice as well. And without even knowing, like I said, I do like all kinds of baking. I draw a lot. I put all my intention to it and I manifest something beautiful. And that's like essentially what I feel like art therapy is. Is that right?
Yeah, it totally is. And something for me is that it creates a form of steadiness within my life that I can always rely on. Like sometimes in bipolar, I like can lose like sometimes kind of my identity through dissociation, and that's something that I can use as this constant tether to work through those kind of things. So it's extremely, extremely powerful when it comes to mental health and kind of working through those things. That's really great for you. I'm super happy.
Would you say that art therapy is kind of like shadow work?
I know very little of shadow work, just to be super transparent. I've only recently kind of come across it, so I'm on like the tip of the iceberg of kind of jumping into that.
Yeah, no worries, because I've been practicing a lot of shadow work lately, and I know a lot of my friends they know a lot more than I do about it. But shadow work essentially is going through whatever emotion you have or whatever trauma that you have, and you face it and you write down everything your first thought about it and how you can get better from it. So let's say, like for instance, I had a lot of trauma, going through finding out that I have a mental disorder, and I never really looked at it head on. I never acknowledged it.
Okay.
So now that you kind of just like acknowledge the fact that, okay, you know what, I'm sick, I have a mental disorder, you start working through it, and then you find ways to make it feel like you're gonna be okay.
Wow, that's so great. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, so I need to do some more research into shadow work, guys, but that's essentially what I've been doing. I have like a small little journal. Oh my God, if you're a witch, you have like a majillion
So
journals.
many. Every time I'm like
It's
buying a new
so
journal, and I'm like,
many.
why? Why,
Oh,
Mina, why?
I know. So, like I was saying, I have a journal for everything, and I have a journal for my shadow work, and I draw pictures in there. I talk about myself a lot, about like how I can, kind of just self cope and kind of use self care, like what I can do to help with like my depression that day. It's really a useful tool. So like I
Yeah.
recommend anyone who kind of wants to get into shadow work, look into that and look into art therapy, like you were saying, because it's a good combo, I
Yeah,
think.
you're getting me all jazzed now. As soon as we end this, I'm gonna be like
Yeah.
on Google looking through all my books, being like, tell me more, tell me more.
Tell me more. I want to do more art therapy and shadow work. No, there's, I always reference her, but I'm not sure if you went down the rabbit hole and came across the Witch of the
Oh
Wanderlust.
yes.
Yeah, she is amazing. She does a whole
How
episode
dare
on
she
shadow
ask?
work, and I definitely recommend watching it for
Yeah,
sure.
definitely look that up.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get back on track. I keep doing this. I'm so sorry. It's just, you're so fun to talk to. I love it. This just flows so
Yeah.
naturally. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about more about you being an eclectic witch and what a witch means to you. Like, what does the term witch mean?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Well, it's something that I think about a lot and I include in my practice is this idea of like what reality is. And it's kind of like like you perceive everything. So that's your reality, but that's not a true reality of what actually exists because that reality is built up of kind of everything around us and how everything perceives it, not just humans perceiving the world, but like the energies of the earth experiencing it as well. So when I think about being a witch, I think about these kind of values of self-care, intention, manifestation, and then your connection as a little entity to the earth that we live in, the natural elements that surround us, and kind of building that connection and getting closer to perception, reality, and that form of existence and living within it.
Wow, that is really intense and a great way to put what a witch is. Because a lot of I feel like a lot of people, they have this misconception of what a witch is. And there's so I know so many well not I don't know personally, but I see a lot of witches on like Instagram, or like I don't like TikTok.
I haven't dabbled over there. It's a little too
I
scary.
have it's just it's I just I don't want to say more about it, because I know a lot of witches are TikTok witches, but I just don't like it or appreciate how they make us look, because it just makes it look like, because being a witch is a personal choice, it's a lifestyle, it's something that is really important because it plays a huge part in your life, right? So I feel like with everyone thinking, oh, I want to be a witch. It just means you dress in all black and you have a crystal.
Oh my goodness. If I see that one more time, like, I'm going.
Yeah. Like, you so know, like, I don't mind. Now. It's like, yeah, what are you doing? Exactly. It's all aesthetic based. And, like, I get that, you know, you feel the need to be a certain kind of, I guess, look to being a witch. And it's just, it doesn't just mean wearing a black outfit with black lipstick,
yeah,
wearing a choker necklace and just having a crystal and holding it out, asking for the world to give you the lottery numbers to win.
Yeah, right?
Right.
It's so hard because I find, like, nowadays, living in these, like, modern times, identity is brought up and questioned a lot, and people kind of attach with that kind of, like, visual aesthetic because you're looking at social media, and that then starts influencing how you view yourself, and it's really hard to kind of separate yourself from that identity that you've, like, bounded yourself to and kind of look at that deeper meaning. And it kind of gives them a version of escapism through it, which is kind of sad and harsh.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with what you just said. It's, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for this, but I just feel like I feel like the witches on TikTok, they're kind of like posers.
Yeah, right? I think that I always remind myself that it's like, hey, if you're feeling self-empowered by doing that, then you go on your journey. This is your path. And hopefully that will lead to opening up another avenue for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, you know, I just, maybe I shouldn't have used that term, but, like, fuck it.
Here we go, guys.
Yeah, so, you know, I just feel like, yes, you can wear those outfits, you can have those crystals, but, you know, there's more to witchcraft than just looking aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Hundo P.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. So how does magic affect your lifestyle? Like, do you and your partner practice it together? Do you practice it by yourself? Or what is it like?
Being that I live in, like, a big city, modern day, I am a little surprised with how fluidly it, like, flows into my daily life. And because I think if you break it down to someone who's not very familiar with it, you can kind of tether it to the ideas of self-care, meditation, connection, the process of creation and manifestation and intention setting. So those can easily be related to everyday life. And, with my partner and I, he does not do anything that I do. And I honestly don't think he really cares, but he respects it. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm having a bath. And then he'll be like, okay, I know that's going to be 4 to 5 hours. So I'm just going to go into my own thing over here.
And that's super
supportive, which is awesome. And then it's come so naturally that it's like, I don't even notice it sometimes.
That's awesome. Because when you have a relationship like that, where you can be completely open in yourself, those I feel like are so rare because, you know, witchcraft has this, like, stigma and this judgment and taboo towards it, where everyone just feels like you just worship the devil and you run around naked.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just like,
it's pretty cute.
I'm like, I only do that on Sundays, guys. I mean, like come on, be real here. Yeah, no. Yeah, but like I was saying, it's just like makes me kind of sad that, you know, like, I get that not everyone is in, you know, an area where you can practice witchcraft, or there, if you're in, like, a very religious family and you have to be a closet witch. But
I'm super thankful, like, that I have that, and especially because I'm surrounded by so many creatives. Most of my friends are professional artists and illustrators and things like that. So when they come to my house, because my house is kind of the hub for community things, they'll see my little, like, altar, or they'll see my book of shadows laying out, and they're always, like, so intrigued, and so, like, it's like an easy approach and understanding for them of, like, wow, okay, like, look at this, like, beautiful little space that I get to, like, come and be enchanted by for a second and, like, learn a couple things, which is, like, super cool. I'm thankful that I got that in my life.
Yeah, definitely. Having your altar kind of just, like, out in the open, it kind of makes you feel vulnerable, but it's also very empowering because, like, you're saying, this is my life, this is what I practice, and this is me.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I learned too how much confidence plays a key role in that. When I first started out doing Wicca and stuff, I'd see that and be like, oh yeah, you know, it's just this thing. People would be like, oh, okay. And they wouldn't really care, but they wouldn't really say anything about it, which then led to me having anxiety of like, did they think I was weird? Like, what did they think? Do they have all these misconceptions? But now I come out of it like, fuck yeah, look at this. Isn't it dope? And they're like, yeah, it is. And I'm like, let me tell you about it. And they're like, huh, that's super interesting. Didn't know. And I'm like, yeah, now you know.
Yes, I love that. Kind of just like, you know what, fuck you guys, this is me.
And yeah, coming at it with that confidence, but like, people are like way more open to it.
Oh, for sure, 100%. Okay, so let's talk more about your Book of Shadows and how, what do you think the difference between a book of, I know, it's your homegirl. what's the difference between a Book of Shadows and a grimoire to you?
You know, it took me like a bit to learn because I first just had my Book of Shadows, was working in there, and now I have both. So I kind of see the Book of Shadows as something that's more personal and kind of filled with things that you're doing in the moment. I like find a new spell and I'm working on it and it's not quite as refined as I want it to be. Hell, that's okay. You just go in there, jot your notes, like do whatever and put in things. So it's like always transforming, always evolving, becoming this new thing. Whereas the grimoire I use as kind of my solidified space of what my practice is. So like reflecting on it, if I was working on that spell, now I'm done it. Now I use it constantly. It's in my life. I take the time to sit down and do those like beautiful illustrations and do that meditative practice and kind of like connect it and invite it into my life.
That is awesome. Because I know with grimoires, I feel like that's like the final stage of like bringing everything together.
Yeah.
Is that what it is to you
too?
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Okay. Okay, got it. And what is your Book of Shadows? I keep saying BOS in my head. I'm like, wait.
I know, me too.
And everyone knows that acronym. Okay, what is your Book of Shadows consist of? Like, what do you typically have? Like, do you have like a legend of like everything in there? Or do you have like just like random pages full of different things? Or do you have them like in sections? Or what is it like?
I started off with a binder because then it was super easy to remove and put in pages. But honestly, now after shading all those aesthetic witches, it wasn't like aesthetically pleasing. It was giving me anxiety. So now I have it more as like a collaged based journal. So even if I like cross something out or write in something else, then I'll just like use different colors or like different collages to cover things up. So now my Book of Shadows could look all over the place besides the key, which is like, yeah, having all those out at the beginning of my journal, and then I separated everything into like quarters with titles. So it's like if one area is like divination, one area is like my rituals, then I'll just go to that area and work on whatever I'm working on at that time and not really worry about where, if it's messy, where it's placed, whichever it is. It just holds everything from like Wheel of the Year to like what different witch paths are. Right now I'm like exploring tarot a little bit more, so I'll write like pages and pages of everything I've learned on that and not worry too much about its fluidity of the things that it's placed next to. So it just holds everything you can think of that's like witchy.
I love that. Cause like, I know we were talking about how I just feel like anyone who practices witchcraft has like a million journals. I have it's not so much like a throwaway like Book of Shadows, but it's like where I dump all my notes into that. Do you have one of those too? Or do you go straight to just putting into your main Book of Shadows?
The only thing that I kind of use is note based is like my secret digital Book of Shadows, which I have on Evernote, which is, that's just my like impromptu information holder. But my Book of Shadows is more, I write everything in it. So it can, one page can be like me finding something and then writing it out in full, and then the other page can be just like scribbling it out super quickly in notes, and then I'll go back later and look at it. And I really like that coming back process, because then when I come back I kind of see some things in like a different light, or I'm like, oh, that relates to like these colors, so I'll like highlight certain areas, or I'm like, oh, that reminds me of this imagery, so I'll like put in a collage piece there.
That is so cool. That's fascinating.
It's super fun. It's super relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because, like I said, I have my book of shadows. I have like so many book of shadows. I swear, I have like a pocket version. I have like a big
Yeah.
one. It's kind of just like, dude, you kind of just like all over the place. Like, get your shit together.
It's, I think that
But
that's all honestly super great because it means that you're it's like super sustainable because I think that's that's something people can get caught up on. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have this many journals, or oh, I didn't write it nice enough here, or whichever. So it's either like having a lot or having one that you can just put your heart into makes it sustainable. And I think that that's like the biggest thing that you need with a book of shadows because you need to keep that content. Like, if you need to go back to it, you're not like you're gonna regret, like, oh shit, I wish I actually wrote that down instead of thinking I was gonna write it down and then like waiting for that perfect moment and then missing that opportunity.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, given all that said, what kind of advice would you give to witches who's starting their Book of Shadows just for the first time?
I would say remember to like be relaxed and open to change. And as I said before, make it easily accessible. Like, don't sit there, pick out like what your aesthetic feel is going to be. Just dive in, and that will come fluidly with time as you relax without restrictions and allow yourself to just like flow and be in that space and build.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. 'Cause like that's really good advice because I know a lot of witches, they get really overwhelmed
Yeah.
with what to put in your Book of Shadows because you feel like there's just so many things you want to write at the same time, but you don't know if it's like fluid, you don't know if it's coherent, you don't know if it's like if it matches. And my advice for people with Book of Shadows is just write everything.
Yes.
And then
Hells
you can
yes.
Like from there you can kind of just like annotate and then you can refine it and then put it into like a bigger journal. But like I just have a notebook where I just literally write my life into it. So
And that's why I
you
love
don't
having
have
that
to.
grimoire too, is because then it's like if that does anxiety and you want that kind of like aesthetic little place, it's like your grimoire can support that. So having like one that's like just an art journal, one that's where you just write down notes, like that's totally okay. Just get it down.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you just have to, even if it's just like a paragraph, write the paragraph. Like, if it's a couple sentences, write the sentences. It doesn't take too long to kind of just jot your notes down. So, like, I think Book of Shadows is a really, really beautiful thing because you get to write, stuff for yourself in the future. And it gives you all your notes on like your failed experiences or your good experiences. It's like a diary of your journey, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful piece that's like reminds me of like a reflection of my personality through time and how it's grown.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say to beginner witches out in the world? What kind of advice would you give them?
I would say be open to everything and be confident. Like if you want to try a new spell, if you want to try like art magic, don't let not knowing deter you. Like, this is your path to walk on, and you have like so much power within you. You just need to take that moment and have that confidence to be vulnerable and dive into it, because that's the only way you're gonna learn and progress.
Oh, for sure. That's a really good way to give advice. So where would you get started and who would you talk to? Like, do you have to talk to find a mentor or you just like find like a coven? What would you suggest?
Honestly, those things are awesome, but that's not always accessible for people. Like in Vancouver, I'm sure that it exists here. It's such a big city, but it's like hard to find. There's no like go here button or like thing I can go to. So for me, it was books, YouTube, Instagram, the blog, The Traveling Witch is super cool and filled with so much interesting content. And I think like learning that way is why I have the Book and Shadows in place, because I'm pulling from all of these different areas. And like having Instagram for me has then connected me with this huge community where now I'm building the opportunity to get to talk to other witches like yourself and get to talk and start that kind of like conversation and connection. So like, yeah, don't hesitate to like start off and be like, oh, I just got it off the internet. So what does it really mean? It's like, no, that's super cool, powerful. Write that stuff down. You'll start building those connections. Just start anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because like I said, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but every interview that I've ever had on here, they've all been from Instagram. People that I meet on Instagram.
I meet so many people through Instagram. It's so amazing. And I find that like before I kind of jumped into this community on Instagram, I was had my kind of like professional art page. And it does have a sense of community, but more like, oh, I like your work, or sure, I'll go to your show. Where the Instagram community of like witches and stuff like that, like they are ready to engage. They want to know more about you and more about your practice. And that was something that like caught me off guard and has like really benefited my life for the better.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I meet so many people daily, and you know, it's such an amazing kind of concept where you can meet witches all over the world,
right?
And I think that's so like fascinating, and I love talking to witches about their experiences. And you know, like I was so excited to talk to you, and so I feel like that's a really good way to get started, guys. You heard it from her. Instagram is like a huge platform, guys. I think it's very versatile.
Yeah,
but did you want to plug in your Instagram again?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to do it in the beginning, but like, let's do
I didn't notice. Instagram, The Creative Wiccan, so you can check me out there.
Yes, and so that's her Instagram, guys. I'll link it in the description when I post this episode. So I just want to say thank you, Lena, for being on this episode with me. It's been such a good treat.
Oh my goodness.
I love talking to you about art therapy. We'll definitely like exchange recipes later.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure talking with you, and like just kind of like touching on the note before of like I don't talk to a lot of people in like Vancouver about it. So this is one of the first times that I've kind of been vocalizing some of these things, and it's been super cool, super empowering, and I've learned so much even from our like short conversation here, which is just like I'm so ready and jazzed to like go and find out all those new things. It's so fun.
Yeah, so fun. Definitely. I will keep badgering you and keep talking to you like as often as I can, because
I will never complain.
Yeah, you're so amazing. I fucking love this show.
Right?
Okay. So, guys, we're going to end this episode here. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lena, again. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.